street a bar. Whatever happens, happens. And there's a reggae band full of dreadheads just sitting in the corner laughing. Well, my baby walks over, drops a 20 in the jar. She smiles and shakes it at me. Yeah, she gets them gone, she gets them playing a little. Don't worry, be happy. And it's sunshine.
To me hard if you're over my love, girl, lay it on my heart, don't try. all but 22, I think at the time. I'd been out on the road, lonely at night. And it'd been a while, so it was on my mind. Well, I saw him walk in with his cowboy hat. And I thought to myself, I could use some of that. His boots like glass on a sawdust floor. Had moves like nothing I'd ever seen before. So I walked right up and I pulled him to the side. I handed that man a beer and looked him in the eyes. And I said, baby, I think you're gonna wanna hear this. Then I told him, excuse me, you look like you love me. You look like
beer joint with a few of the guys, with this cute little country girl called my eye. And boy, let me tell you, she was the prettiest thing I'd ever seen in a pair of boots. Well, she walked right up to me, handed me a beer, gave me a look like, let's get out of here. And that's when I realized that she was every cowboy's dream come true. She told me this right here. She said,
excuse me, you look like you love me. You look like you want me to want you to come on home. And baby, I don't blame you for looking me up and down across this room. I'm drunk and I'm ready to leave. And you look like you love me. I could use some of that. Don't waste your time. Just give him this here line. Goes a little like this. Excuse me. You look like you love me. You look like
if I lost your love, it would tear my world apart. if I know me, I'll turn this car around. I won't get halfway through town and I'll be sorry. I'll stop and call and you'll say you're sorry too, and I'll come running back to you if I know me.
Can't get past those blue eyes shining, they keep drawing me into you, got me falling off track. You get me like that. Yeah, I'm hanging on, hanging on to every word you say, every move you make. I'm hanging on, hanging on, wondering what's up next, girl. Every smile coming off of your sweet lips, yeah, it makes me wanna stay here. No, this ain't a one night, one time thing. You always light me up like a flame, and it's clear every time you're near. Yeah, I'm hanging on, hanging on to every word you say, every move you make. I'm hanging. Some next girl, I can't wait. Ain't nothing like spinning you around the room where everyone can see you hanging on, hanging on to me. Yeah, you hanging on to me. So let me pull you a little closer. I'll be hanging on, hanging on to every word you say, every move you make. I'm hanging on, hanging on, wondering what's so next, girl. I can't wait. Ain't nothing like spinning you around the room where everyone can see. You hanging on, hanging on to me. Yeah, you hanging on.
Thank you. the trailer on a 2-inch hitch. Well, I can shoot a shotgun, I can catch a fish. I can change a tire on the side of a road. Yeah, I know a few things a man ought to know. Up a good thing and how to fix it before it's too late. And yeah, I know a boy who gave up and got it wrong. If you really love a woman, you don't let her go. Yeah, I know a few things a man ought to know. If I can't have it, I can do without. I can hang a picture same as I can take it down. And how to keep it hidden when a heart gets broke. Yeah, I know a few things a man ought to know. How to know when it's love, how to stay when it's tough, how to know you're messing up a good thing, and how to fix it before it's too late. And yeah, I know a boy who gave up and got.
boys round here don't listen to the Beatles run. Old Bo Cephas threw a jukebox needle at the honky tonk where their boots stomp all night. What?
That's right.
Yeah, and what they call work, digging in the dirt. Gotta get it in the ground before the rain come down to get paid to get the girl in your four-wheel drive. Yeah, the boys round here drinking that ice cold beer, talking about girls, talking about trucks, running them red dirt roads out, kicking up dust. The boys round here sending up a prayer to the man upstairs. Backwoods legit, don't take no lip. Shoot a back, a shoot a back, a shoot a back, a spit. Aw, heck. Well, the boys round here, they're keeping it country. Ain't a damn one know how to do the Dougie. No, I'm not in Kentucky, but these girls round here, yeah, they still love me. Yeah, the girls round here, they all deserve a whistle. Shaking that sugar sweet as Dixie Crystal. They like that y'all and southern drawl, and just can't help it cause they just keep falling for the boys round here. Back and shoot a back and spin.
Let's ride through the countryside. Let's ride down to the riverside.
Hey now girl, hop inside. Let's ride. Me and you gonna take a little ride to the river. Let's ride.
Let's ride.
Lay a blanket on the ground. Kissing in the crickets is the only sound. Have you ever got down with a
friend?
Do you wanna get down with a
friend?
Girl, you gotta get down with the boys round here, drinking that ice cold beer, talking about girls, talking about trucks, running them red dirt roads out, kicking up dust. The boys round here, sending up a prayer to the man upstairs. Don't take no lip. Shoot her back and shoot her back and shoot her back. I'm one of them boys round here, drinking that ice cold beer, talking about girls, talking about trucks, running them red dirt roads out, kicking up dust. The boys round here, sending up a prayer to the man upstairs.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods, 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Battleground states, the focus for the presidential candidates 2 days from Election Day. Vice President Kamala Harris has several events in Michigan where fans of the University of Michigan football game Saturday explained why they were supporting her.
Her being elected as president would mark a new wave in America, as like women are being able to reach new posts in government and in society. So super exciting for sure.
Others at the game explain why they're supporting Donald Trump.
His economic policies and how he handled the economy.
Trump will make stops in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia today. Iowa's considered comfortably Republican, but a new poll from the Des Moines Register shows a virtual tie in the state. The Trump campaign's pollster called it an outlier poll. There are more than 50,000 power outages reported across Oklahoma, where powerful thunderstorms moved across the state, along with reports of tornadoes. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Badgers lose to the Hawkeyes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers lost to the Hawkeyes on a rainy night in Iowa City. The final 42-10 in favor of Iowa. Wisconsin heads into a bye week with a record of 5-4. Baseball, the Brewers making roster moves. Starting pitcher Freddie Peralta will be back next season, but right-hander Colin Ray and catcher Gary Sanchez will not. NBA, the Bucks hoping to snap their losing streak at home, but lost to the Cavaliers 114-113. The Bucks are now 1-5. Giannis on what went wrong.
I was times to the little things. I think there was a lot of possession. We got to figure out the ways to play faster, get more shots up, get some second chances, dive on the ball, get some extra possessions. But I'm happy, you know, with the threes that we shot. We shot 38 threes. Last game, we shot 42 threes. This game, 38 threes. We got to keep on keeping that number up just to give ourselves a chance to win the game. That's pretty much it.
That's the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Rain for your Sunday, highs near the 50-degree mark, and breezy southeast winds up around 30 miles per hour. Tonight, rain continues, lows in the mid-40s, gusty south winds, rain on Monday, and highs near 60.
Currently 38 degrees.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as Vice President, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This week on Viewpoints.
In the pandemic, I think a lot of things became crystal clear to people. And one of those things that became crystal clear is that work is not life.
4 years after the pandemic, what does the future of remote work look like? Then,
women made better spies than men. They knew what to say in certain situations and knew what not to say in certain situations.
The forgotten history of women spies during the Civil War. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Moments like hearing my cat purr good morning mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
When the COVID pandemic began and much of the world retreated indoors, remote work became a way of life for millions of employees. Many people saw this as a temporary solution to keep businesses running during an unprecedented health crisis, but 3 years later, around 22 million people in the U.S. were still working from home 100% of the time. That's according to a 2023 Pew Research study. Now, as some employers are calling staff back to the office, some employees aren't ready or willing to go back.
There was a blurring between work and home domains, but it was in a way where folks were able to recognize that there's a sense of flexibility, that they're able to still work and they're still able to accomplish whatever they need to do at home. I mean, there are some challenges and difficulties in that. But it was an eye-opener, I think, for a lot of people to realize, hey, I can still work, and I can do it from my living room, or I can do it from my little office or a corner area in my dining room. So I think that was a positive for employees to recognize that they could still get stuff done, even though they weren't in a physical office building.
That's Dante Myers. He has worked in human resources and people analytics for large companies like Nike and BlackRock. Meyer says with more flexible schedules, no more commutes, and fewer interruptions from coworkers, many employees became more productive with the shift to remote work.
You see people working in ways that kind of work better for them. Folks were working more. Folks were knocking out more things. Folks were pushing harder because you don't have commutes. A lot of people were getting more hours in a work day because some of those other areas were cut out. Some of the conversations that kind of take you down one path. Folks are at their computers at their desk, knocking things out for a lot more hours. So no, you actually saw productivity increase.
But today, many companies are calling employees back into the office to work in person at least a few days per week. Meta, Apple, Disney, and Nike have all increased the number of days in office since 2021. And in September, Amazon announced corporate employees will soon be expected to work in office 5 days a week. Meyer says the decision could have a substantial impact on Amazon employees and other companies who might follow Amazon's example.
I do think it sent shockwaves because it's provocative in the sense that it's not how folks have been operating over the past several years, and to require folks to return to the office in that manner, I mean, I think it raises alarms for Amazon employees, it raises alarms for employees that have across the board that have enjoyed and been able to capitalize on that flexibility in terms of balancing between work and home. And it raised the eyebrows and question mark for a lot of leaders across organizations to do the same and wonder if, hey, should we be moving back to this model too?
As employers encourage workers to come back to the office, they're finding that many workers don't want to return to a five-day in-person job. A 2023 Gallup survey found that only 10% of people want to be in the office every day. The same survey said that nearly 40% of respondents said they would change jobs for the option to work full or part-time remotely.
In the pandemic, I think a lot of things became crystal clear to people. And one of those things that became crystal clear is that work is not life, which before the pandemic, work was life, right? And, you know, with people losing family and friends and seeing the world kind of upended and uncertainty happen, I think people have a reluctance to choose work over life anymore.
That's Anika Parker, Director of Human Resources at Zally Family Market, a grocery store chain in the Northeast. She says that when her previous employer mandated workers return to the office, the decision hit working parents especially hard.
There were several employees who had altered their life during the pandemic, as far as gotten rid of babysitters. Some had moved. Some had made arrangements with their spouses that had different schedules, had signed their children up for medical appointments or activities that they couldn't do when they were working. And so it really turned several people's lives upside down.
Parker is a parent of three herself, and she says she faced similar issues when she was called back into the office.
When I had to go back in 2 or 3 days a week, it really took away my ability to be more present with my kids. So then I had to engage family members and lean on friends and hope they would say yes, take my kids places and then I would get there late. And that is very frustrating.
As some workers worry about losing their work-life balance, companies are also raising concerns about the sustainability of remote work. Both Parker and Myers admit that virtual work can have drawbacks for employers.
I think a lot of it is what was lost from pre-pandemic. Some of the, I would say, the driving home culture or the in-person connections and the creativity and the brainstorming and the working together, some of the camaraderie that's developed, the team connections. So the answer is to bring folks back to the office.
Parker says there will always be individuals who abuse the freedom of remote work.
Unfortunately, there are people who took advantage of the work from home situation and did more home than actual work, right? You know, if you notice on Amazon, they started selling those clickers that could click the button and make it, click your mouse and make it look like you were working. And so unfortunately, there were some people who were actually not working at home and getting paid. And so I think all it takes is one bad apple to spoil the taste.
As Parker explained, staff members can set themselves up for success by advocating for themselves and letting their work and productivity speak to their work ethic.
I think employees can make sure that their leaders know they're working, right? Be present, be proactive, get on the calls, initiate calls, and, you know, make it known that you're doing great work. Like, do great work.
Both Myers and Parker agree that remote work is here to stay, but Myers says the better question is, how much remote work are companies willing to tolerate?
If it was up to me, I would say some kind of situation where there is some in-office activity, there is some in-office moments where folks can come together, depending on the work, to brainstorm, to initiate a project, some things like that, but that there's still a great degree of flexibility that's afforded to employees so that they can create the schedules or the balanced life that works well for them. Because at the end of the day, if you have happy, engaged, and thriving employees, it's going to lead to business results and performance. So there has to be that exchange between both sides that works best for both.
So how can companies and their employees reach a compromise? Meyer says it comes down to open communication.
If employees take more opportunities to listen and to read and to understand and to process and have open conversations where they share their perspectives, but not in an accusatory or in a defensive way. And the same thing, if companies open up their listening channels to understand why employees are saying certain things and to really, really process them, not come to their decisions already, but to incorporate the employee feedback, I think that's where we'll see the dividends that are paid for both employees and for employers.
To find out more about Dante Myers, Anika Parker, and all our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written and produced by Erica Linney. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price. This segment is brought to you by Chevrolet. Chevrolet is supporting the next generation of Black professionals. Chevrolet is partnering with the National Newspaper Publishers Association to power the futures of 10 multi-talented HBCU students with the Discover the Unexpected Fellowship. Visit nnpa.org/chevydtu to learn more.
Coming up, more about four brave women who changed the course of the Civil War when Viewpoints returns.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah! And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single-line plans. Limit of two phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Presenting Again Fling's love story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Try Gain Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Break up with stinky clothes.
Rinse it out.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of the stinks that just will never come out.
Oh, Downy the Rinse Straight.
Every now and then I rinse it out. One wash and it delivers. One wash, it smells so clean.
Downy Rinse and Refresh, it's a dream.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Fights odor in just one wash. Guaranteed.
The American Civil War is memorialized all over the country with battlefields, statues, and museums telling the tale of the struggle to keep the country together and abolish slavery. Hundreds of thousands of Union and Confederate fighters died or were wounded in one of the bloodiest conflicts in the history of our nation. There were plenty of men who distinguished themselves during the war, like Ulysses Grant, Abraham Lincoln, or William T. Sherman, and we remember their names and their contributions to this day. There are a number of other patriots who fought just as hard and were every bit as cunning as the men we remember, but who are all but forgotten in history. Hundreds of women, yes, women, from both sides risked their lives fighting for their beliefs, but none is memorialized by name. Karen Abbott decided it was time to change that. Her book, Liar, Temptress, Soldier, Spy, tells the stories of four of them, two Union and two Confederate, who use strength, imagination, and intellect to help their side. But why has it taken so long to bring them to the public's attention? Where was Ken Burns in all this?
Actually, to be fair to Ken Burns, he does mention one of them in his Epic Civil War documentary, Rose O'Neill Greenhow, who, of course, was a famous Confederate spy. But I think the answer to that is, you know, women weren't the ones writing the history books, and the history is written by men and about men. And, you know, it was sort of fun and a pleasure to try to give the women the credit they deserve now.
Abbott mentioned Rose O'Neill Greenhow, a widow who spied for the South despite her personal loss, sadness, and anger.
She was in a very interesting and difficult position when the war broke out. In the years leading up to the war, she had lost 5 children in 4 years. She had lost her husband in a freak accident, and she had lost her access to the White House. This was somebody who had had, for 20 years, very close relationships with many Democratic politicians. She was even an advisor to President James Buchanan. So she lost all of this when Lincoln was elected and the Republicans came into power, and she was desperate to get this back. So when the Confederate captain approaches her in the spring of 1861 and asks her to operate and form a Confederate spy ring in the Washington, D.C., the Union capital, she disregards the danger of that and jumps at the chance and, you know, goes on to get a cipher and delivers some very important information to the Confederate Army and makes quite a name for herself.
Not only was Greenhow a spy, she was what we would call today a spy master.
One of my favorite anecdotes in the book is on the eve of the first Battle of Bull Run, she summons one of her couriers, and she had assembled quite a team of couriers. And one of them is a 16-year-old girl by the name of Betty Duvall. And she ties up a secret dispatch in Betty's hair and rolls it up into a bun and tells her just to go across the lines and to write to Confederate headquarters and deliver this message. And Betty does exactly that and lets down her hair in this, you know, romantic, dramatic fashion and hands over this note. And the note, of course, contained important information for the Confederates on the first Battle of Bull Run. And Rose, assembled her team and kept on spying after that.
Greenhow, a Confederate spy living in the federal capital, had a counterpart, Elizabeth Van Loo, for the Union.
She was very shrewd. I think she was probably the smartest and most effective spy of all of them. She was sort of the direct opposite of Rose Greenhow, whereas Rose was brazen and outspoken and very bold about what she was doing. Elizabeth was quiet and deft and very discreet. I think her biggest accomplishment was placing a former family slave in the Confederate White House.
And Abbott says that it was the stereotyping of slaves as illiterate and unsophisticated that helped Van Loo insert her maid into the heart of the Confederacy and steal some very important secrets.
Verena Davis, the first lady of the Confederacy, made an announcement that she needed help. She needed to staff the Confederate White House, and does anybody have suitable servants she could borrow? So Elizabeth hears this and pays a social call to Verena and says, well, I have somebody for you. I have a girl. You know, she's not too bright, and she stumbles in the kitchen, but she should serve your purposes fine. And so she sends over a former family slave by the name of Mary Jane Bowser. And, of course, nobody knows that Mary Jane Bowser is not only literate, but highly educated and gifted with a photographic memory. So while she's dusting Jefferson Davis's desk and cleaning up the children's toys, she's also managing to sneak peeks at maps and fortifications and letters on his desk and eavesdropping on confidential conversations and, of course, reporting all this back to Elizabeth.
Finally, Abbott profiles a real female soldier, Emma Edmonds. She joined the Union Army after escaping from an oppressive life in Canada.
she had grown up in Canada with an abusive father, and he threatened that he was going to arrange a marriage for her with an elderly neighbor. And she had seen what this sort of arranged marriage had done to her sisters, sort of sapping all their spirit, and she wanted something different for herself. She wanted a life of adventure. And so she cuts her hair and binds her breasts, trades her dress for a man's suit, and begins calling herself Frank Thompson and living as a man. And she migrates to the United States right before the war and starts hearing about the abolitionist John Brown and all the events leading up to the war, and decides she wants a piece of this. She wants to enlist in the Union Army. And it's quite surprising how all of these women, there are about 400 of them, were able to disguise themselves as men and enlist in the armies, both North and South. And of course, she too goes on to have quite a few harrowing adventures during the war.
But how could a woman pass herself off as a man when living in close quarters with soldiers and enduring the required medical exams?
They just sort of had these cursory physical exams. They only cared if you had fingers to pull a trigger, if you had enough teeth to rip off powder cartridges, and if you had feet to march. That was pretty much it. So the doctor merely shook Emma Edmonds' hand and said, "You're okay, you're acceptable," and she was in as Private Frank Thompson.
How good were these women at going undercover to help their causes? So good that one famous security expert of the time sang their praises.
Alan Pinkerton, who was the Union detective, he was hired to do Secret Service work for the Union, and actually one of his first missions was to conduct a stakeout of Rose Greenhow, the Confederate spy. He often said that women made better spies than men. They knew what to say in certain situations and knew what not to say in certain situations, and I think were more genuinely intuitive, as he said, and some of his best spies were actually women. And it was also interesting that Pinkerton and the other Northern officials, and eventually the Southern officials, when they got wind of Elizabeth, what she was doing in Richmond, they just did not know how to deal with them. So even if they suspected these women, they didn't quite know how to handle them. You know, women were always the victims of war, not as perpetrators. And it was sort of unthinkable that women would be capable of this sort of activity. You know, not only are they capable of treasonous activity, but capable of executing it more deftly than men.
Abbott says women spies helped change the way women were perceived after the war. With so many war widows and few single men to marry, the ladies of the mid-1800s had to learn to support themselves in farming, business, and entrepreneurial endeavors. You can find out about the adventures of four of these brave women who changed the face of the Civil War in Karen Abbott's book, Liar, Temptress, Soldier, Spy. To learn more about all of our guests, head to viewpointsradio.org. This segment originally aired in October 2018 and was written by Evan Rook. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson. This segment is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
It's time to review the top three highlights of the day. I'm joined, as always, by my co-anchor, Snoop.
Hey, what up, though?
Snoop, number one has to be getting the new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence at T-Mobile.
Yeah, you should hustle down to T-Mobile like a dog chasing a squirrel chasing a nut.
Nice analogy, Snoop. Dogs do love to chase squirrels.
And squirrels love to chase those nuts.
On to highlight number two, at T-Mobile, families can save 20% every month versus the other big guys.
That is very impressive. You know, y'all can take some of those savings and buy some Snoop merchandise.
That's exactly what I'm planning on doing with my savings, Snoop. Now, take it away, Snoop.
Head to T-Mobile.com and get the new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence on them. Now drop that jingle.
With 24-month debit credit, eligible trade-in on Go 5G Next. Well-qualified customers plus tax and $35 connection charge. Cancel entire account before receiving 24 bill credits and credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off device early. See how you can save versus the other big guys at T-Mobile.com/switch. Apple Intelligence coming fall 2024.
This is Viewpoint Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. In October, Walgreens announced it'll be closing 1,200 stores, about one in seven of its locations. Drugstore chains have faced tough times in recent years, and it doesn't seem to be letting up. CVS recently revealed a plan to cut $2 billion in costs and announce layoffs for nearly 3,000 of its corporate staff. All of this comes just a year after Rite Aid filed for bankruptcy. As pharmacy chains continue to struggle, the question remains, can they turn things around? After years of expansion and a boost from COVID vaccinations, drugstores are now grappling with changing consumer shopping habits and competition from retail giants like Amazon, Costco, and Walmart. They have also had to contend with shoplifting and rising inflation since the pandemic. Both Walgreens and CVS have faced billions of dollars in fines over allegations related to overbilling, staffing shortages, and their role in the opioid crisis. When stores like Walgreens and CVS close, it doesn't just affect the bottom line. Some patients have to travel further to fill their prescriptions. A study from the Journal of the American Medical Association found that pharmacy closures disproportionately affected low-income urban areas where the majority of people were on Medicare or Medicaid. One thing is clear. As consumer preferences shift and competition grows, these changes might have to reinvent themselves to survive. That's Viewpoint Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. One of my favorite storytelling devices is the non-chronological timeline. Sure, stories might seem to make the most sense in a linear fashion. This, then this, then this. But centuries of lived experience and storytelling seem to suggest that sometimes out of order just works best. Think about a TV show that begins at the end and then flashes a 24 hours earlier card so you can see how some bonkers situation came to be. When done wrong, it can induce a groan, but when done right, the storytellers have you in the palm of their hands. Its inventive storytelling structure is just one of the many reasons Citizen Kane redefined the language of cinema. In more modern times, one master of the non-chronological story is none other than the Oscars reigning best director, Christopher Nolan. His film Memento broke brains with its clever forward and backwards timeline, and it's since become something of a Nolan calling card. And of course, there's also Pulp Fiction, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Mulholland Drive, and an endless stream of others. It's also the approach taken by John Crowley's new romantic drama, We Live in Time, which stars Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh, and tells the story of one couple's life together, one anecdote at a time. Sometimes a new scene will begin, and it'll take the audience a minute to locate where they are in the journey. But the end result is something a lot like our memory. We don't remember things in a perfect timeline, we remember in fragments and moments. With a non-chronological timeline, We Live in Time is allowed to make audiences laugh or cry at a moment's notice, so that when the devastation really hits, we can appreciate the totality of the journey instead of just the finality of an ending. We Live in Time is in theaters now. I'm Evan Rook.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah! And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
That's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
This is Tom.